Oh. Anyway. Okay. Don't let pressure paralyze your faith. How many have ever been under pressure? yeah. Pressure. Anyway, oh, it's funny. This morning in class, we were talking about some things, and I thought, oh, we're getting into my message. That's awesome. It's good. But don't let pressure paralyze your faith. 2 Corinthians, let's go to our first scripture. All right. If anybody had pressure, it was Apostle Paul. He had some pressure too. 2 Corinthians 11, 26, 28 says, in my difficult travels, anybody ever have difficult travels? I'm thinking about it, the car breaks down, the bike breaks down. That's difficult travels. In my difficult travels, I faced many dangerous situations, perilous rivers, robbers, foreigners, and even my own people. I've survived deadly peril in the city, in the wilderness, with storms at the sea, with spies posing as believers. I'm laughing. This is comical. I've toiled to the point of exhaustion and gone through many sleepless nights. I've frequently been deprived of food and water, left hungry and shivering out in the cold, lacking proper clothing. And besides all these painful circumstances, I have the daily pressure. Everybody say pressure. Of my responsibility for all the churches, with a deep concern weighing heavily on my heart for their welfare. Now you look at this, and the first thing that people would say is, well, Paul just didn't have faith. He shouldn't be going through all this stuff. He shouldn't be feeling any of this stuff. Well, I wish that was true. Welcome to the real world. We live in a world, we live in a fallen world, and things happen. How many figure that out? There's going to be pressure. But let me ask you a question. Are you under pressure today? Apostle Paul understood about pressure. Maybe you're at pressure at work, pressure in your marriage, pressure in your finances. We've all faced these things one time or another. Pressure from all around. Pressure is one of the ways that Satan attempts to devour you. It's how he endeavors to paralyze you and keep you from being productive and being fruitful in your life. That's the enemy. Pressure has a way of making situations look impossible to overcome. Some of you may be facing things and you're wondering, are we ever going to get through this? Is this ever going to be a breakthrough? Are we ever going to nip this thing in the bud? Why are we going through? Why there's so much pressure? Pressure has a way of convincing you that you're not going to make it sometimes. Well, we know where that lie is coming from. It has a way of robbing you of your confidence, God's ability to see you through. And it can actually cause you to just sit down and sometimes just quit. Not so much that you quit on God, but you back off from using your faith to move forward. First point. See, it's already ahead of me. Pressure is nothing more than Satan's way of trying to influence your what? Influence your thinking, trying to get you to doubt God's love and care for you. That's what the enemy wants you to do, people, this morning. The enemy would love you to believe that God just doesn't care. You're just not as spiritual as this person or this person, so God just doesn't care. And the enemy will bring that and whisper it in your ear. All this stuff is happening to you because God's forsaken you. All this stuff and all this pressure and everything you're going through, this financial struggle and all this stuff, is just that God is mad at you. And the enemy just yaps away, and it's not God. That's what happened to the disciples that evening when they were caught in the storm. Jesus told them to cross to the other side. He would catch up with them later, of the Sea of Galilee. Now, we've been on the Sea of Galilee, been on there a couple times. And when we were on it, Kenilos, it was just like, it was smooth as glass. And you would never think that they would ever have a storm on that lake, but they do. They say when they do, they really have a bad one. But every time we were on that water, it was so smooth. I thought, oh, I remember water skiing on glass. It's just what my thoughts came to. I'd love to water ski on the Sea of Galilee. It'd be so much fun. But anyway, let's look at Mark 37. Suddenly, as they were crossing the lake, a ferocious tempest arose with violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat until it was all but swamped. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. Isn't that like Jesus? He ain't worried about a thing. So they shook him awake, saying, "Teacher, don't you even care that we're all about to die?" Here's Jesus sleeping in the boat, not even worried. Storm comes. He's just laying down. How many, when storms come, it just wakes you up? I'll tell you what. They had a storm the other night, and Candy said, I just slept right through it. Lightning was the loudest I've ever heard in Elsie, twice or three times. 2:30 in the morning, I jumped about 20 feet in the air on that one. I was awake. That was the worst I ever heard. I thought a transformer had blown outside my house, because that's happened before. A squirrel's got up in there, and the whole thing went kaboom. Finally, a squirrel got up there, and the thing went kaboom another time after they fixed it. Finally, they put those breakers on there. They got smart and said, "We'll put the breakers on there, so when it trips, it'll throw the breakers." But anyway, here's Jesus sleeping in the boat. The pressure they were experiencing caused them to doubt even his care for them. Has that ever happened to you? You ever felt like that? Have you ever wondered if he has forsaken you? Pressure has that kind of effect on your mind. It's amazing how the enemy will use things and he'll trigger things in our mind to believe something that's not really true. A lie. Don't trust in your emotions, because your emotions sometimes will lie to you. But trust in what God says and what God says about you. Now, you notice how Jesus responded. Verse 39, fully awake, he's fully awake now. He rebuked the storm and shouted to the sea, "Hush, calm down." That's out of the Passion. "Hush, calm down." All at once the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. King James says, "Peace, be still." Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, "Oh, thanks for waking me up, boys. I sure needed that." Here's what he said. "Why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet?" King James says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what? Faith." So pressure paralyzed their faith, or in other words, caused their faith to be inactive. It makes sense? Write this down. Pressure can bring inactive faith, which is active fear. So we know, people, that the opposite of faith is what? It's fear. Inactive faith in adversity gives Satan the advantage. It gives him the advantage. Then the enemy can work on it. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:11. To keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and his intentions. See, Satan knows that it's only when your faith is active that you are a world overcomer. He knows that when you start using the faith, you start declaring God's word, what God's word said, you start confessing God's word, that's when he knows he's in trouble. See, the enemy doesn't care that you're a Christian. You know that? He could care less. He cares about you moving forward in faith and activating your faith and declaring the word and declaring faith. That's what scares him, that you're going to be an overcomer. When Jesus went into the wilderness, he said, it is written, it is written, and it is written. And he would quote scriptures to the devil. That's how he defeated Satan. Let's look at 1 John 5:4. And whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. How many are born of God today? You know what? You are victorious over the world. Well, Pastor, I didn't feel like it yesterday. I sure messed up. You're victorious over the world. Don't let one mistake stop you from being victorious over the world. But he said, whatever's born of God is victorious over the world, and this is a victory that conquers the world, even our what? He didn't say complaining. He didn't say murmuring. Well, why am I going through this when so-and-so, it seems like they never go through anything. Well, the pastor, he's so spiritual, he never goes through nothing. Well, why is so-and-so blessed and I'm not blessed? Well, why are they getting their needs met and I'm not getting my needs met? That's how the enemy would like us to be. Instead of rising up and beginning to declare our faith, beginning to stand and say, hey, you know what? I don't care how it looks, but by his stripes, I'm healed. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care. I only know what God says, that by his stripes, I have been already healed all those years ago, so now I'm going to receive what's already mine. And you got to declare it. Well, Lord, I need a breakthrough in my finances. It just seems like everything, I can't make ends meet. I've been working hard. I've been doing what I know how to do. And you know what? You need to declare that God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory. And you need to activate the faith. You need to start declaring what God says for your situation. That gives God the right to move in your situation. That gives the angels the right to move. Do you know angels will not move until you declare the word of God? They will not move because the Bible says that they hearken to the voice of the word. If you're negative, angels just stand there. They can't do a thing. They can't go and make things happen on your behalf because of what's coming out of our mouth. But once you begin to declare the word of the Lord and you begin to take his promises and say, devil, guess what? God said this, and I believe it. That's when the angels have a right to move. They will move. Put your angels to work. Begin to see them work because they work for you. This is their job. When you declare in faith and begin to take God's word by faith, that's when God moves on your behalf. But we cannot see the results if we're complaining about what we don't have and we begin to declare by faith, okay? The Passion says, you see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Okay, let's look at this right now. Our faith is victorious power that triumphs over the world. See, the world system will keep you locked into its system, but God has a better plan in his system. The other day, someone was asking me about tithing, and I explained it to him the best I could. I said, when you tithe a dime out of a dollar to God, you put yourself out of this economy and you put yourself in God's economy. I believe that. Things are going to break down. Things are going to happen. Washing machines only last so long unless you have a Kenmore. No. I'll tell you what. We have a freezer that's over 30, 40 years old that's still running. I'm not kidding you. I couldn't believe it. Where's Candy? She's not in here. Good. I was crazy anyway, but anyway, I bought this microwave. I bought it for a birthday. Shame on me. You grow in grace. Well, anyway, I bought this Panasonic years ago. Over 30-some years ago, that thing ran for a long time till up to 5 years ago. That thing was just bulletproof, kept running. Now they don't make things like they should. Washing machines don't last because now they're all computerized. And if the computer goes out, you're done. You might as well take a washboard. That's how it is. But some of the old machines would last forever. But listen, it says our faith is victorious power that triumphs over the world. How did I get into washing machines? There's a point here. Okay. But here's the thing. Our faith. Faith comes by adhering by the what? You can only get faith by the word. So let's change it up. Let's say you see every child of God overcomes the world for the word of God is victorious power that triumphs over the world. The declared word of God or the confessed word of God, because it's the sword of the spirit, is what brings victory over the world. It changes it up. So when we begin to speak like God says we should, we are speaking his language. And it changes everything in the spiritual realm. But if we begin to speak what we feel, what we see, and what people tell us to, we're never going to see the end result. Ellen, you didn't speak, oh man, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. No, it ain't going to be there. It's a done deal. When the operation, and they took care of all that. But here's the thing, write this down. Pressure distorts your perception. Isn't that the truth? It'll distort your perception of how you see things. Did you notice that in Mark 4, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Don't you care that we're going to die?" What a distorted perception. Here he's the God of love, compassion, and mercy, would do anything for them. He laid his life down. He bled his life. He sacrificed everything for them. And here they come to him and said, "Don't you care that we're going to die?" Did you notice how that pressure had an effect on the perception of things? Pressure distorts your perception or how you see or view things. It gives you a false opinion about things. Pressure has a way of blowing everything out of proportion. Isn't that the truth? It will cause you to be up all night worrying over something that is necessarily foreseeable or it's going to happen. It might not even happen. But the enemy will make us see things and perceive things and they're really not there. I'm not saying that the lack is not there, whatever, but he will fill your mind so full of things that you'll start to have a perception of things that's not even of God. That's not how God looks at. How does God look at you when you need healing? How does God see you when he knows that you need a breakthrough? How does God see it in you that you need a breakthrough or you need something met according to his riches and glory? It will cause you to be up all night worrying about that's not foreseeable or is it necessarily going to happen. When this happens, Satan has successfully stolen your peace. He just steals your peace. Now look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations. Now let me stop there. What's in an imagination? It's something that you build up in your mind. Exactly. It's even a perception. It's reasoning. It's a thinking of a reasoning about something that's not true. And so Paul's talking about casting down imaginations. Why? Because imaginations can lie to you. There's good imaginations, but there's bad imaginations. Do you know that you can build good imaginations by the word of God? I'm more than a conqueror. I'm victorious. By his stripes, I'm healed. And you begin to quote what God says about you. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God, the word of God. So there's things that the enemy wants you to believe that is not in his word. It tries to exalt itself higher than God. That's how the enemy works. and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we have to take captive every thought that becomes a false perception. I'm not going to believe this. No way. I'm not going to accept this. No way. Because my God is bigger than this. My God knows all things. Write this down. You have to learn to cast down every thought or imagination that doesn't line up with the Word of God. You have to learn to speak the Word of God out loud. This is how you bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Every time you take God at His Word and you speak it out loud and your ears begin to hear it and your ears take it to your spirit, that's where faith is built. That's where faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Declaring the Word. Declaring God's Word. Now let's go to Hebrews 10:23. Let us stop the profession of our faith. No. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without what? Wavering. For He is what? God is faithful that promise. That means He's going to do it. If you will believe it, He'll do it. If you will believe it, He will do it. If you will trust Him, He will bring it to pass in your life. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. Don't go up and down, but trust in what you're saying is going to come to pass. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant what? Whose mind is on other things." Whose mind is stayed on you. When our mind starts to wander, we start believing some stupid stuff, don't we? I believe some crazy stuff by letting my mind do my thinking for me instead of letting the Word of God doing it for me. Our minds will just sit there and tell you what you want to hear. You will guard him, keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Keep your mind on what God says, on the Word, on the Scriptures. And it'll drive out what the enemy's trying to put in your mind. Because he commits himself to you, he leans on you and hopes confidently in you. That's putting your trust in God. Amen? Write this down. Peace is the absence of stress. Can you say amen? Peace is the absence of stress. Worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. Isn't that the truth? That's why Jesus said, don't take thought about your life. We'll be coming up pretty soon to that. Living a stress-free life is possible. But listen. It takes some effort on our part. It's not automatic. How many figured that out? There's things that we've got to do in order to make it happen. You got to get in the Word. You got to declare the Word. You got to believe the Word. And you got to let the Word go. For not only your ears to hear, but for the enemy to hear. Look at John 16:33. "In everything I taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me." Let me read that again. I'm getting a revelation of this. "And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me." You know, that's another subject, but God wants you to learn to rest. Quit trying to do it yourself. Just rest in God. Sometimes God expects us to move forth and to make things happen as He leads us forward, but there's sometimes you just got to rest in God and say, "Lord, I'm done trying to fix this. I'm done trying to make this happen. I'm done trying to see this thing come to pass. I'm done. I'm going to rest in you and let you be my rest, my peace, in my confidence. The King James says this, in me you might have peace. So, for in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. It's going to happen. You're going to have pressure. But you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. No matter what we face in this world, people, no matter what we go through, the pressure that comes against us, know this, that Jesus has conquered it already. It's already done. Based on what Jesus said in the verse, we can quickly see that the pressure of Satan's way of trying to steal our peace, he wants to take your peace away. And the word peace is defined as this. Let's look at this. A state of quiet or stillness. People will come up to you and go, well, why are you not all bent out of shape about this? You're going through this, you're going through this, and you're going that, and you're just so peaceful about it. Well, worrying about it ain't going to change a thing. How many figured that out? Does worry pay the bills? No. Does worry heal? No. Is worrying going to change one iota? No. Jesus said it won't even add an inch to your stature. He said, take no thought worrying. It starts in the mind, thinking. Then the worry comes. Oh, I just don't know how God's going to do this. But it's a state of quietness or stillness, freedom from disturbance or agitation. Agitation. Calmness in the midst of trouble. Freedom from worry and anxiety in the absence of stress. That's peace. That's God's peace. Jesus reveals to us that we don't have to worry or be stressful about anything if we learn how to apply these principles. Look at Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. Now, how many know that worry is going to come and it's going to try to take over you? We know that. But living in a constant worry continuously is not what God has called us to. I mean, the enemy can blindside and all of a sudden, bam, something hits and we all get worried. It triggers something, but we don't have to stay there. Does that make sense? We don't have to stay there. You know, I had talked to my brother, Rodney, and his doctor said he has a blood disease. He's got bad kidneys. And, you know, I thought about it, and I was praying about it yesterday. I said, Lord, you know what? I just pray for his healing, restoration, and they put him on some sulfur stuff to kill the infection in his blood. But it's been happening for a long time. But as I was talking to him, you know, Rodney's the type of person, he said, I don't have time for this, man. I've got a lot of stuff to do for God yet. And that was his confession. I've got so much I got to do for God yet. It's not done yet. And I said, you're right, brother. You got too much to do. We're going to see you through on this thing. Instead of worrying about he's going to die or this or that, but he said, no, we're moving forward in God. So he was at a church, and he went to this church, and this actually happened last Sunday, and he's sitting there, and he's praying, and well, they were doing worship, and the pastor's wife said, well, you know, come on up here at the altar and just receive what God wants for him. Well, nobody went up. So he said, I got up out of my chair, and my wife and I went up there, and we just started worshiping the Lord. We didn't care what people thought. And he said, we prayed, the pastor kind of laid hands on him. He came up, laid hands on him while they were there and prayed for him. And they went and sat down. And all of a sudden, he said, I was sitting back there, and the pastor walked by me. He turned around, came back, and he started prophesying over him. And he did not know that he had a blood disease. And he started prophesying over my brother, and he said, and God is going to heal that blood disease. God's going to heal it. And so God knows, even when people don't know. And God can use other people to pray for you and to help you get through what you're going through. Does that make sense? But he didn't know him the first time he ever been to church. guy walked past him, turned around, pastor said, started prophesying over him, started speaking. And he said, Rodney said, he read my mail to the T, to the T, everything. And he knew nothing about me. So listen, God has your number. He knows what you need. He said, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, or worried about your life. Worried about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. And Jesus wouldn't say this if it wasn't possible, people. It will take some effort on our part, but it's not automatic. It's not automatic. Write this down. Peace is the result of reaching the place in your life where you have become completely confident. Next one, Chad. Thank you, sir. Here we go. Peace is the result of reaching a place in your life where you have become completely confident that God loves you. He's not doing it to you. Well, God's trying to teach me a lesson. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. That's not our God. Complete confidence that God loves you, cares for you, is on your side, and wants to meet your every need. Amen? That's your God. That's my God right there. Nothing feels better than knowing God loves you, that he's always there for you, and that he will always take care of you. Amen? That's the God we serve, people. 1 Peter 5:7. Everybody got that down? Okay. Next one, 1 Peter 5:7 says this. Pour out all your what? And what? Oh, my golly, stress. Katie, have you ever been stressed? No, I didn't think so. Pour out all your worries and stress. Tell God. And don't misunderstand me. You'd better rather have God hear it than everybody else hear it. Because they'll make a big mountain out of something that's not there. But telling God doesn't mean that you're declaring negativity, God. It means pour. It says to pour out, to give it to God. Say, Lord, I'm casting all my care on you because you know what to do and I don't. That's faith. That's trust. That's releasing it out of your life, the stress and all the junk that the enemy, and giving it to God. Pour all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there. Don't get up the next morning and say, well, I better do this myself. It's not moving as fast as I thought. Don't you do it. Leave it there. Because it says this, for he always tenderly cares for you, always. And this is what happened to David when he declared, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I have need of nothing. That was the job of the shepherd, to take care of the sheep, to make sure they had water, to make sure they had food, to make sure they were protected and covered, to make sure they were protected from enemies, to make sure that they were taken care of out of the heat, out of the cold, led to greener pastures. That was the job of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have lack of anything, David said. The entire psalm speaks of peace or the absence of stress. He leadeth me beside what? Still waters. That's God. God does not want you to be in stress and agitated and bent out of shape. He wants you to learn to just rest in him. Rest in him. See, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you are going to do it. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to give it to you. Because if I take it, it's going to be a mess. And you learn to trust the Lord. Let me close with this. You can get to a place if you really and truly want it. I believe that. I see people that live their life in a cycle and they can't get out of that cycle because they choose not to declare and decree the right thing. They choose not to turn or go this direction. but they're caught up in that same old thing. And it's got to be you that has to make the decision and choice to break it if you truly want something. It's up to me. Decide today that Satan is no longer allowed to rob you of your peace, no more. If he can steal your peace, people, then he can't get you under pressure. He can't keep you in pressure. And if he can't keep you under pressure, then he can't talk you into giving up. No way. Because the victory is already yours. Peace belongs to you and me. Living stress-free belongs to you and me. And victory over pressure belongs to us. It's ours because of what Jesus has already did. Amen? This is what the Lord has done for us. He has taken care of it. But we need to put our trust in him. We need to say, Lord, I need a job, or I'm looking for this, or I'm looking for that, and I need your help. And you do what you can, but you put it in the Lord's hands and let God open the right doors. Or let God close the wrong doors. But you put it into his hands and trust him. When you get under pressure, back off, sit down, and say, Lord, I don't need to go through this, but I put my trust in you. And I'll tell you what, if we will learn to put our trust in him by declaring what God says, instead of believing what my heart wants to say, things would change a lot faster. Things would happen in our lives. Amen? I believe that. I believe that. So this morning, I want to challenge you to keep faith in action. Keep faith with your mouth. Keep faith moving forward. Instead of looking at the situation and circumstances and talking about that mountain and making that mountain bigger, Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Speak to that mountain. Be cast into the sea. And you don't doubt in your heart, it'll come to pass. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's faith. It's believing when you don't see it, and it's believing when you don't receive it yet. You haven't received it yet. But that's faith. It calls those things that be not as though they were. Amen? It begins to call and say, you know what? This is not how I'm going to live my life. You hang around negative people long enough, they're going to make you negative. Start hanging around positive people, they'll help you be positive. Declaring, decreeing that God is God. Amen? And I'm casting all my care on him because he cares for me. Let's pray. Chad, I want you to get ready. He's a good, good father.